Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Clark Lee for joining us in the last segment. We'll have Titans cornerback Roger McCreary coming up at 7:30. Big story in training camp thus far. McCreary's had a very good camp, so looking forward to talking to him at 7:30. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. JC from Goodlettsville on the text line says, before the show goes any further, is there any Joe Milton news? How did he sleep last night?
That's a good question.
Directed towards you.
Good question, JC. As far as I know, about a good 7.5 hours.
That's good.
So that's fine.
They track those things now in college football.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they do. They actually all do have those. Like someone today in the Tennessee football building actually knows like how Joe Milton slept last night.
That's correct.
Got those. What are those bands called?
I don't know what they're called.
Like I wrote about that during hoops. What's that?
Fitbit.
No, I'll find it. I wrote about that during hoop season because Tennessee, whatever the bands are, like they track everything. What is it?
Swoop.
I don't think that's it. I'll find it. But anyway, thanks for asking, JC. Appreciate it. Yeah, I must say, for the most part, Tennessee fans reacted positively to that story. They're like, hey, that's cool. It's a cool story, and yeah, good luck to him. We'll see what happens.
I thought it was a really good story.
Here and there, there was a few, like, you know, he's trash. But, you know, you're going to expect some of that. Someone had, like, a he's, and then they had a little trash can emoji. Well, whatever. Wow. For the most part, people have taken this well. JC is choosing sarcasm. That's fine.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the text lines. Joe, we'll get to some of your Titans training camp observations here in just a few minutes. I do want to go back to the text line. Real quickly, we were talking earlier in the show about the Titans and maybe some disrespect heading in this season. PFF had him at 17 in the power rankings. I think FanDuel's got him at 18. The Score had him at 14. There, I mean, they're down the list on a lot of these power rankings coming out right now. And I know power rankings at the end of the day amount to about nothing. But I think it just kind of shows you what the view is of the Titans heading into this season. Josh from Cookeville on the text line says, the Titans are almost always disrespected in ratings. I try my best not to overrate them, but they're at least in the top 10. Dan from Clarksville texting in says, the national view of the Titans is that they're built to win during the regular season, but aren't good enough to win in the postseason. So aside from the one postseason where Derrick Henry ran over everyone, the Titans can't do it. Dan from Clarksville saying that's the view of the Titans heading into this season. I guess I don't necessarily disagree with that. Right now, I guess what would be interesting to me to figure out from, let's say, the PFF power ranking that has the Titans at 17, is it more about your view of the Titans, or is it more about how you view the changing landscape of the AFC with Denver coming in, or with Russell Wilson coming in, with maybe some growth with the Chargers, Devontae Adams coming over to the Raiders? Like, how much of that factors into how you view the Titans as well? And I don't know if we'll get the answer to that or not, but that part of it's pretty interesting to me.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's a big part of it for a lot of people, and I think it's somewhat understandable. Like, I don't know, if you went back to NFL media, you know, preseason power rankings that were somewhere on the internet in like 2001, were the Titans disrespected then too? Like, was that a consistent theme?
Probably not.
I think some of the I know that I, as someone who liked to watch the NFL, thought they were absolutely going to win it all and all year during the year 2000. So, I mean, I feel like they were respected then. I mean, it was only 22 years ago,
yeah.
21 years ago.
That's right.
But I think some of it has been like over the years, you know, they don't have exciting teams. Even like the 2008 teams, they weren't super exciting, right?
They were
good defense. Good running back, game manager, quarterback.
Kerry Collins slinging that ball around out there.
Yeah. So maybe that's part of it, the market part of it. But I think you're right. I think some of it this year is the AFC, and that's understandable. It's just if you're ranking the Titans, you know, 17th or 18th, I think that you're not paying much attention to them.
Joe, your number one standout from training camp practice yesterday as the Titans were back on the field. Maybe not even necessarily a person. I guess your number one takeaway yesterday.
Well, let me just do my notes.
Oh, you have notes.
Yeah. Oh, I always have notes. So, let's see. Let me just see what I got. I wrote down Dez cooking. He looked good. This is one on one in the red zone. NWI with a great move and a touchdown. In the red zone period, one thing that definitely stood out. So Malik Willis had two periods of extensive work. When they were doing 7-on-7 red zone, I think it's some of the best he's looked in camp. He had a touchdown to Briley Moore. That was interesting. There's one guy from yesterday who, and on the day that I'm like, yeah, I think I messed that up. You know, I'm go with Tommy Hudson. I think most people still would go with Tommy Hudson, who covered the Titans, over Briley Moore. But Briley Moore had some plays yesterday. He looked like a weapon. So keep that in mind. Team, then you get to red zone team. NWI Cooks Fulton on a post corner, a little just left him standing still for a touchdown. This is Tannehill, and I think he had four reps in a row, and I think they scored every one of them. But that is one thing. I mean, Fulton has been picked on a bit in camp. I would not say, you know, he's had a tremendous camp so far. Hilliard, there's a guy who doesn't get talked about a lot. I think he looks really good. Dontrell Hilliard had a little touchdown, you know, kind of coming out of the backfield. No, I'm wrong. They did not score every time. Now, there was an incompletion to Burks. Farley Burks is fun to watch. McCreary Burks is fun to watch. Anybody Burks, I guess, is fun to watch. But it was an incompletion in the corner, an outcut. I think it's a PI. I think Farley got a PI there. But and then there was a hooker. Oh, wait, hold on. No, who would – I said a nice pass to Hooker. I don't know. It's a bad notes. Somebody scored. Hooker was there. I would say that was a D win on that rep, though, because Tannehill took a long time. So now you get into twos, and you got Malik Willis with some good stuff. You got a bullet to Racy on a slant against Theo Jackson. It actually popped out. Racy then grabbed it out of the air, but it was a really good pass. Good rep for Racy. I mean, you got to catch it initially. A.J. Moore had a really good breakup on Dez Fitzpatrick. Actually, Shakir Brown has made some plays, I got to say. Shakir Brown, recent pickup, Michigan State legend, had a great PBU on a Kinsey pass of the corner, and Drabel talked about him after the practice yesterday. There's a guy who is making a little bit of a noise. I don't know that I'm ready to sit here and say he's got a real chance to make the team, but he is. You are noticing Shakir Brown. He's not big, like 5'10", but as a slot corner depth guy, you know, keep that in mind too. Back to the ones. Farley with a great reaction on a short pass to Robert Woods. You know, it's not tackle. They were in shorts, by the way, yesterday. They were not in full pads. Great job by Farley. It would have been a tackle, I think. Briley, another with the ones. Ooh, can I say that? Oh my God, did I just? Now let's just say Briley was going with Tannehill. Tannehill threw to Briley, so you can make your assumptions however you want to make it. Whatever. It was. He had a little short pass for a touchdown. Zach Cunningham got cooked by Hilliard to the corner. And then Zach Cunningham made a late, basically a dive to punch it out. So it was kind of like it wasn't great coverage, but it was a great reaction by Zach Cunningham. We probably have to go to break. I have a lot more notes for you.
We'll get to Joe's notes, more of his notes from training camp coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning. I got a pair of tickets to give away to 3 Ice, North America's premier 3-on-3 ice hockey league, which will be at Bridgestone Arena coming up tomorrow. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to 3 Ice coming up tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. Joe, we're in the midst of your training camp takeaways from yesterday. I turn things back over to you.
Yeah, I try to get through this more with more quickness so you can participate in the show also. Someone on the text line says, I sound over-caffeinated. I don't think that's a problem. And you know what, Megan, thank you for that gift. That's very funny. Yeah, you can say like the one – it was 7-on-7. Like, whatever.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, so Malik – let's go back to Malik. And again, this is sevens. Couple – good passes to Godwin, by the way. He's making some plays. I think the
Chris Godwin, by the way.
Yeah, Terry.
Yeah.
Play of the day. Yeah, that'd be different. Play of the day or pass of the day was a TD to Bradley Moore beating Joshua Kalu, I believe, but it was a terrific pass. Now, he had another one where it's like he throws a bullet to Josh Malone for a touchdown in the corner. But the problem is it took like way too long to get to it. You know, he got stymied initially. Pause, pause, pat, roll. And then you know, the arm talent to get it there is crazy, but that's, you know, the stuff that, you know, you got to, you know, clean up and get better on, of course. Kyle Phillips, I thought, yesterday had definitely a better day, a louder day. I think Kyle Phillips, like in one-on-ones and stuff, you can see him, and it's like, ooh, you can see the feet and everything. There have been some days, for whatever reason, it may just be that they haven't thrown him the ball, where you just – kind of a guy out there. Yesterday, he wasn't just a guy. There were a few plays by him that I definitely noticed. Now, team, some of the team stuff, a two-minute. They did some two-minute stuff. And essentially yesterday, like Logan Woodside, I wouldn't say took the day off, but it was a lot of Tannehill, you know, with the people you'd expect Tannehill to be with, although mixing in a lot of different receivers. And then Malik Willis got a long look at that. In the team, of course, Kevin Byard, you know, playing robber in the defense they're in. As he told us afterward, he leaped up and picked one that was headed toward Austin Hooper in the seam. So Tannehill has now thrown a pick. So make jokes accordingly at the expense of Jared Stillman.
Season's coming crashing down with each passing day.
It is all falling apart. It was looking so good. I mean, they had the one seed locked up. Now they're like the four. And I'm trying to think, looking for some other. So another, I was watching Raidens and Landry quite a bit yesterday. Again, shorts, helmets, but it's still pass rush reps. It's still pass protection reps. There are a couple plays where Harold Landry just really just overwhelmed him. There were a couple reps I thought where Raidens did a really good job. Look, it's a great look for him. I mean, really, you expect Harold Landry to win way more often than not against Dylan Raidens, or really, I mean, most tackles who are just one-on-one blocking him, right? Like, that's what you expect. So,
well, when you're paying him that much money, I'd hope so.
Right. So, so it's a great look. I don't, you know, I mean, there's going to, obviously in a game, you're going to scheme things up. You're going to maybe shift protection. You just don't want to have to help both tackles. If Taylor Lewan is Taylor Lewan this year, well, then you're probably shifting your help toward the right side anyway, but another Kyle Phillips great play. And then, you know, I think the tough part, so Malik Willis yesterday again, and that 7-on-7 I think might have been his best period. By the way, Dez with a slant beats Fulton for a touchdown, or Fulton for a big play. But Malik in 2 minutes it was tough. It was for him, it was like a confidence builder when they're in the red zone. And then he really sailed some passes. He had a couple really good passes, one to Kinsey. He had a terrific pass at the end. I'm trying to remember who it was too. It was a really good throw to Malone. Chris Jackson got him out of bounds. It was a great throw. There was a lot of holding the ball too long, not seeing somebody initially, breaking the pocket. He sailed a few passes. It wasn't a great period for him, but that was basically yesterday.
So. And this could just be me, you know, maybe paying attention to it a little bit too much. But it sounds like, from my vantage point, Christian Fulton's getting beat a lot in camp. Like, is that number one, do you agree with that? Number two, is that concerning on Christian Fulton?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like someone does well, someone must have gotten beat, right? I mean, like, one of the Racing McMath touchdowns the other day was Fulton and Amani Hooker bumping into each other. Now that's some sort of a miscue, I guess, on one of them. But you know, they went Keystone Cops and Racing McMath all alone down the field. But, yeah, I would say that he has definitely been picked on some. I think this goes to what we were talking about yesterday with Mike Herndon. I mean, they are definitely going vertical quite a bit. And, yeah, they're going after him. So I would say he's given up more than he would like. Is it concerning?
I mean, he was just so good last year.
Yeah. Like, it's hard for me to look at this and say, oh, he is just losing it, man. I mean, he's a young player entering the prime, you know, approaching the prime of his career, who I think was good enough on a pretty regular basis on Sundays last year that I wouldn't. I mean, that's honestly, if you had your preference of known commodities who maybe, again, this is kind of like if you go back to Tannehill last year, it's why I just didn't think it was that big of a deal. He was throwing picks in camp. Like, if you've seen someone play at a high level on a lot of Sundays when it's actually counts, a few mistakes in camp to me don't mean a ton. So, but I think it's worth keeping an eye on for sure. And again, like they're going deep. Now Farley is also as good as he's looked running around, there's a totally different expectation for him. You're just like, can the guy run? Can the guy move? Can he play? So it's like, wow, what a pleasant surprise Caleb Farley is. Well, he's been getting beat some too. With Christian Fulton, you just expect him to come down, right, come out and lock people up. So you got to keep that in mind too.
Well, you know, a question that we've asked about him is, can he be a legitimate, maybe, I don't know if shutdown is the right word, but can he be a legitimate number one corner for the Titans as they move ahead here? I don't think there's any question that as it sits right now, he's their number one corner. But as you look around, if this defense is going to be elite, like we think it has a chance to be, is Christian Fulton good enough at corner to be that number one corner on an elite defense? I thought he showed signs of it last year for sure. Can he do that on a consistent basis?
That's a fair question. I think one thing that you would have if you have Caleb Farley coming on and starting and becoming a good player is like it when you are matching up, and those two guys are very different. So when you're playing the big physical receiver, I think that's more ideally like, okay, that's Caleb Farley.
Yeah.
You can travel Caleb Farley with the bigger, stronger guys, and with Fulton maybe more so with more of the speed guys. But yeah, to me it's more like if he's a good starting corner and then Farley is too, and you're good across the board at that spot and you can play all your different coverages, you know, you may not have that guy. And I don't know that Fulton's gonna be that guy, like that star lockdown corner, but you'd still be in pretty good shape with the pass rush they have, the safeties they have, to be very, very good.
I mean, you kind of drafted Caleb Farley to be that guy eventually, right? Like, that's why you took him
where
you did in the first round?
I would say so. And it's not like they took him super high, but yeah. If you take a corner in the first round, I don't know if, like, taking a corner in the first round automatically means that must become the definition of that lockdown corner, but at least better be a really good starter. Like he needs to be better than Adoree Jackson, who was fine and was at times quite good for the Titans, but overall didn't play up to his draft status. By the way, Adoree Jackson apparently looking awfully good in Giants camp. He'll be coming in here week one looking for some revenge.
I want to find the people around the league. They're just like, man, I don't know. They're looking horrible in training.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, the thing is, with Adoree Jackson looking good, my first thought is, yeah, it must be nice to go against that Giants offense.
Yeah.
But, hey, maybe Brian Daboll is just changing the culture.
Daniel Jones just really, really stretching the field down there.
Yeah.
Coming up next, we'll be joined, speaking of cornerbacks, by Titans cornerback Roger McCreary, one of the stories of camp thus far for the Titans. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in one of the stories of Titans training camp thus far, Titans cornerback Roger McCreary. Roger, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Hey, how you doing? I'm doing good.
We're good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Roger, what has camp been like for you in terms of just everything you've had to process and learn out there? How's camp gone for you so far?
I would say Kim's going great. I'm just enjoying the ride. This is a great experience for me. I'm just finally competing and just playing with the players, some of the teammates on my side. Everything's just great. I'm just trying to learn day by day and just get better no matter what.
Roger, we talked to Shane Bowen the other day, and he was talking about the difficulty of playing the outside and inside, playing both of them. And I get the sense, not every rookie is going to be thrown into both of those, but you have been. So how has that gone for you? What is the difficulty of trying to transition from one to the other?
I would say it wasn't easy when I first started, but it's just something that I'm starting to get used to day by day, just learning new stuff and like new ways of how to play different from the inside to the outside, just listen to my coaches. And just the veteran guys like Amani and KB and everything, they just tell me how I can cheat this way and how I can do this. It's just really like knowing the defense more, to know where your head can be at, to know how you can play the inside and outside. So it's just me getting my playbook more and just studying and just trying to focus on the little techniques and stuff. And I feel like it's going to be good once I focus on those things.
Is one or the other, do you think, better suited for you?
No, I wouldn't say that. Really, at the end of the day, it's all DB, I would say. It's really the same stuff. It's just like a little like technique you have to do, but I wouldn't say like that's one I'll do better.
So, Roger, I know you obviously, you haven't gotten on the field for a game yet at the NFL level, but just from practices, like can you tell a big difference between college football and the NFL game? What's kind of been your thoughts on making that jump from high-level college football in the SEC, of course, now to the NFL?
Yes, most definitely. I say there's a difference between college and football. Just the intense of the game and how fast the game is going. I never noticed it really go that fast. College, I was in college. I was like seeing stuff come. Like it was kind of like slow to me at first, but like going to the next level and just practicing stuff, it's just more intense and it just the game speed up even more. Like you have to react fast, you have to think fast, you have to be urgent. It's just stuff like that that you have to really pay attention to.
So one of my favorite reps of camp so far, Roger, was I think the other day, the first one of one-on-ones, you against Treylon Burks, and I thought you did everything you want to do as a corner in that situation. It was a perfect ball to the sideline. He got it, but it was a fun matchup to watch. How about just going against him? What's that been like for you? And when you go against a Treylon Burks, obviously there's a great receiver in the SEC that you guys saw, but you've seen a lot of them. How would you compare that?
Yeah, most definitely. Just going against Trey at practice and everything, that's my guy. We both from the SEC, so like it's just great going against him every day at practice because the type of receiver that he is, that's good. That's a good skill set that he has for his size. He's fast. He's strong. He can roll and he can jump, and get the ball, and everything. So it's just great going against him at practice because I know he's going to help me every day to get better at stuff that I need to get better at. And just playing SEC for my past, those guys, I went against a lot of great receivers. But now, guys I wouldn't even probably know that would be great. I feel like just the lead now, it's just going to be – everybody's going to be great. So you really can't underestimate nobody who you're going against. So that's just my mindset, just try to get better and just dominate the person I'm going against.
Titans defensive back Roger McCrary on with us here on Robbie and Rextro. So, Roger, you brought up Kevin Byard and Imani Hooker. There's a lot of veteran guys on your defense. How helpful has that been for you, having guys that have played a lot of football in the NFL, particularly back there with you, like you said, with Imani and KB, just teaching you the ropes and what to look for at the NFL level? How beneficial has that been for you?
I promise you, it's been great just practicing with them guys. Imani and KB start off with them. It's just like being in the meeting room with them, like they help me out with every little thing that I need to know. Even when I do good, they'll be like, you can do this, they can make it more better, so you won't put a lot of stuff, like a lot of stress on yourself. It's just like no matter what, no matter questions I have, they're going to always be there for me and just everything from their experience. So I'm happy that I'm playing alongside with them. And just the other guys, like David Long, I have to communicate with him. You can just tell how he want to be so great, so he going to push you no matter what. He going to push the guys around him. And I can see that at practice every day. Like, he want to win no matter what. So I just feed off his energy and just see how leader he is. And I'm just excited just to play next to them guys. because they're showing like how the standard is on the defense.
If there's one thing between now and the start of the season, Roger, that you definitely have to get better at, what would it be?
I would say just me. I would say, like, just overall my whole game experience. I would say I wouldn't say, like, I'm ready for the game because I don't know how the game is going to go. So I would just say just everything about me that I just need to get better at. That's how I feel. That's my mindset because I'm not at my highest peak yet or none of that. I'm just still trying to get better and prepare every day.
All right, so Roger, I've got to ask you this. You took over SEC Media Days a few weeks ago with Bush's Beans down there. How did that all come about, and where did your love of baked beans start, do you think?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Growing up, you know, we used to always have a family barbecue and stuff, and baked bean was always the thing that stood out. And I just, like, kept eating no matter what. I eat, like, plates of it, and I put sugar in it. So that was a little thing that had started off with sugar. And, like, start getting better and stuff. So I brought my tradition to Auburn, and they made it one of our game meal, and that's one thing I ate for, like, the game every time. So it was great with that, and I finally, like, got a deal with them. So it was just great just to finally have that deal with them and them being the beans of the SEC and everything. So I feel like it all falls in place.
I mean, look, I could eat baked beans every day. So I'm 100% with you on that. Now, I think John Robinson, after they drafted you, I think he mentioned, what did he say? Cereal and bologna sandwiches and baked beans. So what's the full pregame meal? It's not just baked beans, right? You got other stuff with it?
Oh, yes, sir. It going to be some other stuff with it. It was just the beans just always stood out with people around me. But I ate some other stuff with the food and stuff. But it's like now – whatever they serve is, I'm gonna just have to eat it.
Right.
So I'm good. I can't make no demands here. I just gotta eat what they serve.
And they're probably not serving a lot of bologna sandwiches, right?
No, sir, not no bologna sandwich. It's gonna be something healthy and good for the game.
That's right. Tight defensive back Roger McCreary on with us here on Robbie and Rex. So Roger, I'm interested to get your thoughts on this. We hear so much and we talk so much here in Nashville about rivalries and college football, and it's SEC territory here. But what's it like from your vantage point to play in the Iron Bowl? Auburn against Alabama, maybe the greatest rivalry in all of college football. What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, growing up as a kid in Alabama, that always been a big, big game to us. Like kids growing up, either you're an Auburn fan or you're a Bama fan. I grew up a Bama fan. That's the crazy thing about it. But in high school, Auburn, they gave me a scholarship. They took a chance on me. So I flipped the switch. That's when I hated Bama. Auburn was the team. But just to finally grow up and to finally play in that game for them 4 years, I feel like it was one of the best games ever. It was always, like electrifying crowd and everything, especially at Jordan-Hare. And I'm just happy that my last game was the Iron Bowl. Like, no matter how it ended, I was just happy, just grateful to be playing in that game.
Incredible game, too. You're the Lone Ranger here. And you got what? Well, you got three Alabama guys on this team, right? You got Shaheem Carter, Deshaun Hannon, and of course, Derrick Henry. Is there any back and forth? Is there any trash talk? I would not advise talking a lot of trash to Derrick, but you know.
I wouldn't say it's a trash talk. Yeah, it was a little dish. It was a little sneak dish, but I don't think trash talk gonna start until Iron Bowl week.
That's right. Titans defensive back Roger McCreary on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road.
Well, on that idea too, Roger, I know with the rookies, a lot of times there's fight songs, things like that. Anything so far in camp, have you had to get up yet and like do a routine or anything? Have you had to go get food for the guys? Like, what's the rookie experience been like for you with the veterans?
Oh, yeah, the rookie experience, yeah, that's a lot. You know, you got to go out there, do a song for them or make a joke, any of that stuff. Got to get snatched for the team. I mean, for the meeting room, position meeting room. And what's another thing? Oh, yeah, you got to get the equipment, too, after practice. That was the first I ever experienced that. I already knew it was coming, but I was carrying, like, about four shoulder pads, four helmets, and everything.
So did you sing a song?
Like, what? Like that.
Did you have to sing a song?
Oh, yeah, yes, sir. I sung a song.
What song was it?
They called me up there a lot of times. I'm not going to lie. What was the other song? It's been a long time coming by Sam Cooke.
okay.
And
good song.
I'm trying to hit the high vocals on them.
Oh yeah. Can you give us just like a little feel for it?
A little feel for it. I'm just thought I was with the first song. Got it.
I was born by the river.
That's how I started.
Nailed it. Attaboy. That's how it's done.
That was good. You hit that high.
Just absolutely nailed it.
Yeah, it was higher. It was higher in person, though, so it kind of took everybody off guard.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'll be trying.
So you did a great job, Roger McCreary, our guest here on Robbie and Rexover. Roger, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to join us. Continued good luck to you as you move through camp here, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
Roger McCreary, our guest here on Robbie and Rexover. Well, that was incredible.
That was incredible.
That's hitting a note.
He's pretty good.
Do baked beans have something to do with falsetto, being able to hit the notes?
Could be.
I don't know. I'm going to Google that right now.
We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the Rob Rant. Looking forward to this one. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexrode, 1025, 1063, The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
You watch a lot of A.J. Brown tape before we got here? I mean, I know you're buddies, but like, did you really dive in when he got acquired?
I've seen enough. He here, so.
He knows.
Tennessee's going to bully some people.
Tennessee's on the schedule, too. Have you looked at that? Man. What week is that, A.J.?
I think it's what, December 4th?
Okay,
December
12th, yeah. Oh, he knows.
It's
yeah, you
know exactly where it is.
Hey, but we're going to take it one game at a time. One game at a time. You know, we'll see them when we see them.
You had that tweet after Debo got paid and DK got paid. Your agent, Tory Dandy, negotiated those deals too, saying, and you guys, I'm paraphrasing here, but you guys still think it was me.
Yeah.
Have you come to terms, come to peace with how things ended in Tennessee?
I can. I'm going to answer. No. I want to answer.
He's looking out for you.
Yeah. That was just, it's a business, and I'm not upset about the trading thing because it is a business or whatever. But to be honest, I just didn't appreciate how it all went down, you know, and they just kind of blamed me for it, you know. I'm man enough to say that, you know, so however people may take it, but, you know, I have no bad blood with Tennessee. You know, I'm moving forward. I'm happy to be here. But, you know, a lot of things people don't know about, you know, and they just point fingers at me. But that's okay, though, you know, so.
That was A.J. Brown on the NFL Network, along with Jalen Hurts, by the way, co-interview that they put out there the other day. By the way, this is the Rob Rant. Make sure you check it out. Every morning.
Yes.
I will say, before we get started on this, it is very difficult for me to rant after Roger McCreary just sang live on our show. I'm in a very good mood right now.
Yeah, that voice just kind of, you know, like just puts you in a good mood,
it really does. It's great stuff. All right, so look. We've talked a lot about A.J. Brown here on this show. I think we both agree that the trade itself probably would have liked to have seen the Titans wait a little bit longer. I would say your feelings on it are a little bit stronger than mine are, but certainly when you get through the end of this whole thing and A.J. Brown is the one guy of those four receivers that we talked about that gets paid but also is the only one that gets traded at the end of it, I think that's pretty hard to take if you're a Titans fan. But, like, at some point, are we going to move on? Like, the A.J. Brown tweet the other day, I thought that was it. Like, all right, this is it. This is the last time he needs to talk about it, and it's gone. And you heard the question here on the NFL Network, and it's funny to watch the video that comes along with it, because as soon as he's asked the question, Jalen Hurts, like, looks at him and covers up the microphone. Like, all right, I don't want you to say anything here. And that's why AJ in the clip is like, no, I want to answer this. And then he gives his answer there. And look, I don't guess there's anything totally wrong with his answer. He talks about wanting to move on. And then he goes right back into it of, well, there's things that have happened here. People just point fingers all the time. It's like, all right, dude, at some point, you're in the middle of training camp right now. Like, it's time to move on from the Titans. And I think we've reached that point with AJ Brown. So this is my last stand with AJ Brown here. This needs to be it. It's time for him to move on. Quit bringing it up. The Titans have moved on at this point. I really like A.J. Brown. I think some of the discussion around A.J. Brown throughout this has gotten a little ridiculous. He's not good on Twitter, and he says some dumb stuff on Twitter. I don't think there's any question about that. That's somehow gotten into, you know, his personality in the locker room, and we've talked about that. I don't buy into that stuff. We're like, dude, at some point, it's time to move on. I think we've reached that point. And that interview was kind of the first time that he's tested my patience throughout this whole thing. Like, at some point, it's time to wrap things up and realize that you're a member of the Philadelphia Eagles and to stop whining about the trade from the Titans. I get it. Obviously, you're upset with the way things have gone down. I think more obviously you're upset with the reaction that's taken place since the trade and how maybe Titans fans view it. And that's fine. I'm not saying you don't have a right to be upset. But at some point, you got to go all Tom Brady on and be like, yeah, man, I'm focused on today. Like, and I think AJ's reached that point. It's time for him to stop talking about it.
Yeah, well, I can't disagree with you. I guess in this case, I mean, it was brought up to him. I thought he kind of handled it okay there. But the tweet is the bigger, like, why is this still going on? I agree with you. I also will say that, like, came in today and, you know, like, get on the text line. And a lot of times, like, the top things in there are, like, from Jared's show, Jared yeah. Caroline show. And there's stuff on there about all the locker room cancer. And, I mean, someone on there was like, I hope he gets – or he's going to get hurt. I think maybe even I hope he gets hurt. Like, crap like that. That's the thing. It's like, take that stuff aside. You're turning this into all of a sudden he was a locker room issue. Ridiculous. But I'm with you. It's enough.
Well, Sam and Franklin on text line says the reporter asked him a question. All he did was answer. Like, he said all he needs to say on it. At some point, you just look at the reporter and you say, yeah, man, I just, you know what, I ain't worried about that anymore. I'm worried about my time here at Philadelphia. And he kind of said that in the middle of his interview, and then he kept going back to the Titans.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, you just shut it down. Yeah, it's like, time for AJ to shut it down.
If this was all of it, like, this is how it initiated, was that question, you know, then I'd have more sympathy for him. Because, yeah, I mean, basically, like, they wanted to get him going, right? And I thought he at least, like, was diplomatic enough. But, yeah, the thing is, it was preceded by the tweet out of nowhere. It's like, man, you are just not going to let it go. And I'm 100% believe that I'm sure he was upset, and I understand it, with some of the stuff that came out after the trade the next day. But I think it's more about the fans on Twitter.
Oh, I think it is too. And, you know, we've talked about this with him heading into this situation. You better get ready for Twitter in Philadelphia. Like, look, I think A.J. Brown's probably going to play well. I still have questions on my limitations of how well he's going to play, given who his quarterback is, but we'll see what happens on that front. But, I mean, they'll turn on you quick anywhere in pro sports. They turn on you real quick in Philadelphia.
Yeah, they don't need Twitter.
Yeah.
Let's throw stuff at you.
Yeah, I mean, like, so I think it's a legitimate concern. Like, if you're this worked up, if you're A.J. Brown, over, like, Titans fans' reaction on Twitter, I got news for you, buddy. It's going to be rough in Philadelphia. Like, you make one mistake, they're going to be all over you.
No, just, like, two bad games in a row.
Yeah.
A big drop and a big moment, yeah. No, you got to, like, get into the mindset of, like, he should be on the Luan mindset. Just get off the whole thing, really, yeah. Is what he should do. Dennis, he did say, did AJ just say he was man enough to put the blame on the Titans? Yeah. I'm man enough to go ahead and be petty.
I'm man enough to tell you that. You know what? Let me just tell you. Wasn't my fault.
Rob from Clarksville says, time for the Titans to get a restraining order. Okay, take it easy, Rob.
Justin says, I don't know about locker room cancer, but AJ's circus can't be great for a team, and at minimum, it's a headache for any team.
But the circus is related to the contract situation in the trade, right? I mean, was there an AJ circus here when he was here?
No.
I don't think he got so. Mad at Kaherski last year, which was fantastically fun for all of us.
That was fun.
But remember, he got mad because he was ripping Kaherski for tweeting about Josh Reynolds.
Yeah.
I mean, he was sticking up for a teammate. So the circus is the contract thing, which, again, to me, If someone's issue is because they're mad at management about their contract, I really wish fans would stop taking the side of management on that. But they do, for the most part.
Well, they do. Now, I think some of this is just fatigue, too. Like, the Titans, really, from the moment it happened, moved on from A.J. Brown. And, you know, you can think whatever you want to think about that. Like, you could, and we've talked about Vrabel's reaction to it, or Vrabel, like, on the live stream of them selecting Treylon Burks, and he's just kind of like walking away out there. Like, we've talked about that part of it, but publicly, they just kind of moved on to Treylon Burks, and it is what it is at this point. Like, I hope that this is the last we hear from it, from A.J. Brown's side of things.
Yeah, Vrabel in that moment looked like me after, like, failing a chemistry test in 11th grade. Like, oh, my God, what just happened?
He was having a lot of fun there.
But, yeah, I think that's part of it, too, is like
– And look, it's probably going to come back up when they play – that week.
Oh, like, yes. Good. So all these things will come back up. But that's frankly our fault.
Yeah.
That's going to be our fault. So let's go ahead and own it before it happens.
Yeah. Until then, like, I do wonder, like, if you're Philadelphia, not that this makes a big difference either way at all, because your number one concern if you're Philadelphia is, hey, stay healthy, stay on the field, and catch the football. So I understand all that. But, like, at some point, like, if you're Philadelphia and he keeps doing this, do you look at him and say, hey, man, not necessarily like the Freddie Freeman thing, because it's not the same. But it's like, all right, get this thing out of your system. It's time to focus on ball here. Like, does somebody at some point say that to him?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, yeah. And probably Jalen Hurts would be your best option there, yeah. Right? I mean, even like, it's kind of joking holding the mic, but it's sort of like, yeah.
It's like a joke, but not really a joke.
Like, we really have to be really good to win games in this league. So let's just go ahead and get there. Seriously, if there's anybody in this league, this is the criticism of A.J. Brown that's fair to me, is if there's anybody in this league who needs to get the hell off social media, he'd be on the short list.
He's on the short list for sure. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.